This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day, a wonderful day to be together in worship. And I'm so glad to welcome all of you who are in the sanctuary this morning and all of you who are joining us over live stream. And I would invite you to take a moment to let us know that you're with us. If you would register your attendance in the registration pads that are at the end of each row, if you're here in the sanctuary, or using the link that's provided there in the chat if you are worshiping online. I am not Nancy Parker. As you may know, Nancy was supposed to be our preacher this morning, and she called me on Friday, and her voice sounded like this, and she has a terrible sinus infection and did not want to share her germs with you this morning, so I told her I would preach in her stead and that we will look forward to hearing from her later when it's a better time for her. So please be in prayer for Nancy as she heals from that sinus infection. She did want me to let you know that the Young Adult Ministries is hosting a painting party on Friday, the 19th, in the Fourth Story Theater at 6 p.m. Our church member, Laura Hood, who is an artist, will be leading that fun painting time together, and we invite everybody in their 20s and 30s to join us upstairs. We are excited to be able once again to host our Advent wreath-making workshop. This was something we were not able to do last year, so we're looking forward to doing it again this year. The plan is to gather in the gymnasium on Sunday, November 28th, which is the first Sunday of Advent, at 4 o'clock p.m. to make our Advent wreaths that we can then take home and light from home as part of our worship together. So that's Sunday, November 28th at 4 p.m. in the gymnasium. We are also hoping to provide Christmas gifts for foster children in the Nashville area, and we have about 30 children on our list who have yet to have a gift picked out for them, so we're doing a virtual angel tree, and you can find the link listed in the bulletin. You can find it on the website or on Facebook, and we hope to have all of those gifts collected by November 30th. Finally, this morning is officially our Sunday when we hope everyone will turn in their estimates of giving for 2022. If you're a member of the church, you received a letter from me in October with an estimate of giving card, and we've been hoping that you are praying about that and planning for your giving in 2022. There are cards available in the pew racks, and if you have your cards with you or want to fill out one, you can place them in the offering boxes at the end of the service. It's also really easy to make your estimate online. We'll be sending out an email this week with that link, but you can go to the give section of the website and find the link there. It's very easy to do. And we are hoping that we have 100% participation from our church members. We have been navigating difficult financial times, and we want to be able to continue the momentum of growth in ministry that we've experienced, even during the time of pandemic. So we hope that you will make your estimate today. We are gathering with Jesus and his disciples outside of the temple this morning in our scripture reading. And as they stand in awe of the temple, we stand in awe of the love and grace of God who welcomes each and every one of us here by name. So let us worship this God who loves us unconditionally.
Lord, let us praise thee, our God and Soul of thy grace, and Lord, let us praise thee, our God and Soul of thy grace. Come, worship the Lord who is in our midst today.
There is no rock like our God.
And we raise our voices to praise the Lord of strength. We trust that righteousness will come on the heels of God's judgment.
There is no justice.
May Jesus, the Son of our God, lead us into faith. Come worship the Lord who is in our midst today. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Holy God, you are with us in times of building up and in times of tearing down. We praise your name from morning to night, yet we build walls that separate us from you, from one another, from the world, even from ourselves. We place stumbling blocks in the way of goodness and truth. We are led astray by promises of earthly treasure. We confess our fallibility and seek solace in your loving arms. Guide us in our efforts to encourage one another, to work together for good in the world, and to prepare for the day of the Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you are worshiping with us online, you may do that by sharing signs of peace in the chat or by texting or calling on friends and loved ones. And those of you in the sanctuary can pass those greetings of peace in whatever way is most comfortable for you this morning. The peace of Christ be with you. And now let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Hear now a lesson from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As Jesus left the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what awesome stones and buildings." Jesus responded, "Do you see these enormous buildings? Not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives across from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What sign will show that all these things are about to come to an end?" Keep watch. Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many people will come in my name saying, 'I'm the one.' They will deceive many people. When you hear of wars and reports of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must happen, but this isn't the end yet. Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other, and there will be earthquakes and famines in all sorts of places. These things are just the beginning of the sufferings associated with the end." The word of God for the people of God.
And those who are worshiping at home, I invite the children who are here to come on up and join me here. And if you're worshiping at home, just get a little closer to your screen so you can see me waving. Good morning, good morning. Hope you all had a good day yesterday. We have such a beautiful fall, all the colorful leaves. What a great group. Oh, I'm so glad to see all of you. I want to talk for a minute this morning about the church, and then I want to sing a song with you, a song you may know already. So when we think about church, we might think of this building, this beautiful sanctuary that holds us when we're here in person and worship together, the stained glass windows. That's kind of what comes to our mind when we think of church. But you know what? This building is not really the church. The church is all the people. Because you never know, there may be something that happens that we can't come into the building. Who knows? We could gather out in Centennial Park and we would still be West End United Methodist Church. In those times when we couldn't come to church because of COVID, we were all kind of worshiping at home and looking at our computers, and we were still the church. So there's a song that I learned when I was about your age, and you may know it too, and I'm going to sing it, and I bet some of these folks out here and at home know it as well. And if you know it, I want you to sing it with me. There's a first part, and then there's a verse, and then we're going to do the first part again, okay? So why don't you stand up, because we're going to do some motions too, okay? Here's how it goes. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. And here's the verse. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. Ready? I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Let's go in a circle. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Let's pray. We can stay standing up and say a prayer together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your church. That's not a building, but the people. And we thank you for these people at West End United Methodist Church, a people who make us feel loved and teach us about you. Help us continue to be your people and be the church no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for singing with me. And if you are 3 years old, 4 years old, or 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Chapel. Well, if you're three, you can go with Pastor Maggie. If you're five, you can go with Pastor Maggie. And if you're older, you can return. You can go with Pastor Maggie. You fit right in. When I was a junior in college, I had the privilege of studying abroad for a semester. I studied in Paris. And my roommate from college also went on the program, so we roomed together in an apartment in Paris. And then after the semester wrapped up, my sister flew over, and the three of us traveled around Europe with the Eurail Pass. You remember those good old days when you could just get a Eurail Pass and travel all around Europe? One of the things we enjoyed doing was taking pictures, because we didn't have cell phones back then. We had to take pictures and then see them when we got home and took them to Walmart. But we loved taking pictures, making tourist faces. So we'd stand in front of these great, famous places and go. So, and of course, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, one of us was doing this, like it looks like you're pushing it over, and the other one's going. Or the Cathedral of Notre Dame. I got to show them my face, too. The Colosseum. The Tower of London. Just so much excitement seeing these great monuments. And that's exactly the face I imagine the disciples making as they're walking out of the temple. Jesus, look at these enormous stones. Wow. What a wonder of the world. Can you believe that this is our temple, the temple of the Jews in Jerusalem? Isn't it amazing? And they weren't wrong. It was amazing. The Temple of Solomon had been rebuilt around the year 500 BCE. But when Herod the Great came into power in the first century BCE, he had a lot of wealth and he wanted to make a statement about his power in the world. That's what leaders did back then. They built buildings to show the rest of the world that they were a force to be reckoned with. And Herod the Great was ruling in Judea at the same time that Cleopatra was in Egypt and Julius Caesar was in Rome. And so he wanted to be a player among those. And so he did a lot of building throughout Judea. But the jewel in his crown was the temple in Jerusalem. The historian Josephus gives us one of the only descriptions we have, but he talks about the shining bright white stone and marble of the temple, and that one whole side of the temple was gilt in gold, so that as the sun rose, it was almost impossible to look directly at the temple, or you might be blinded. The great bronze doors leading in to the center of the temple. It was a stunning, breathtaking building to see. And it's no wonder that the disciples are taken with it, are totally amazed and lost in wonder at the beauty of this building. It's also not surprising that they are deeply shocked when Jesus says, "You see these stones? Very soon, not one of these stones will be on top of another. The whole thing will be thrown down and destroyed." How could that be? Something that seems so permanent. And not only that, not just a beautiful building, but this place that was at the heart and the heartbeat of Jewish worship and religious life. How could it be destroyed? Who would they be if the temple were destroyed? How could they possibly go on? It was about 3 years ago that the lectionary brought this text up the last time. And 3 years ago, I really could identify with the shock of these disciples. But now, 3 years later, I have a better understanding, perhaps, of what Jesus is saying. This whole idea that things we think are permanent, that will never be changed, can change overnight. I think we all know what that feels like now. Having walked through nearly 2 years of a pandemic, we know that there are a lot of things that felt permanent that weren't. If you had told me 2 years ago that the day was coming when we would close the church, that there would be an Easter Sunday that was empty in the sanctuary, I would have said, "There is no way." I would have had the same reaction the disciples had to Jesus. If you had told me when I was ordained that the day would come when the denomination would be shaking and perhaps splintering and the future would be uncertain, I would have said, "There's no way. This is an institution that is stable, that's been around forever. How can that be?" I think about our friends at East End United Methodist Church. Last week, they had a service of All Saints worship and deconsecration, where they deconsecrated their building that had been hit by the tornado in February of 2020 so that they could clear the ground and prepare to rebuild. But if you had told them 3 years ago that this building that they had nurtured, that had nurtured them, that had been the place where they had gathered and worshiped God and sent their children to Sunday school and their youth for gatherings, if you had told them that building would be gone like that, they would not have believed it, and neither would I. If you had told me when I was standing in front of Notre Dame taking a picture that I would one day see it in flames, I wouldn't have believed it. But here Jesus is saying to these disciples, this amazing wonder of the world, the temple we're standing next to, is going to crumble. But he's not just saying this to be gloom and doom, to just say that, well, nothing lasts, nothing's permanent. He's saying this to them, A, because it's true. In 70 AD, the Roman army would take over Jerusalem and burn the temple to the ground. But he's also saying it as a wake-up call to remember that there is only one thing that is permanent, only one thing that is eternal, and that is God, the presence of God. No matter what happens, no matter what falls down all around you, no matter how institutions change or shift or how many buildings crumble, God will always be with you. The love of God made known in Jesus Christ is eternal and will never be shaken. As the Apostle Paul said, there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So wake up to that truth, Jesus says. Keep awake, keep watch. Make sure that you keep your eyes on the main thing. And that is God revealed in Jesus Christ, continuing to follow Jesus. But how do we do that? What does that look like for us 2,000 years later as we continue to navigate a pandemic and the shifting ground of our culture and all that's happening around us and all that's happening in our personal lives, the things that we thought were permanent that aren't? How do we keep awake? How do we keep our eyes on what is eternal? Our spiritual ancestors have passed down their wisdom to us over centuries of the spiritual practices of prayer, of reading scripture. For me, that's one that perhaps helps me stay the most grounded, is continuing to go to the scriptures, not for history, not for facts, not for answers, but for an opportunity to hear from God through the power of the Spirit. Sharing with others, being in ministry with the poor and seeing the face of Christ in others. Giving of our resources. As today is our celebration of generosity, that practice of letting go of time and letting go of money that we give away for the sake of the work of God in the world is a very real, concrete, daily practice to help us keep the main thing the main thing. So we do these spiritual practices. We keep awake. We keep attentive to the work of God in our lives and in our world. And we look for signs of hope. And that's ultimately where Jesus leads these disciples. The translation we heard is a little different, but in the NRSV, Jesus says, you know, there will be wars and rumors of wars, nations will rise against nations. That's all going to happen. But these are just the birth pangs. The birth pangs. This is just the beginning of something new being born. So could it be that Jesus is saying, this temple may crumble, but soon I will die and rise again, and that God is a God of resurrection. So no matter what seems to be crumbling around you, trust and believe that God is a God of new life. And what seems to be breaking down may just be breaking open to something new. Several of us were in Kansas City a couple of weeks ago, as you know, talking about the future of our denomination. And they have this great technology, and we could vote on our phones and watch the results coming up on the screen as we were voting. And they asked us to pick some of the most important characteristics of the Methodist way, the Methodist movement. And so there was this word jumble that was showing up on the screen, and the word that appeared the most would be the biggest, and then the others. And in the middle, never moving, was the word grace. Everything else was changing and shifting, but the word grace stayed and got bigger and bigger. It was a reminder that even in these times of shifting sands and institutional crumbling, perhaps, we know and understand what is at the heart of who we are, and that is God's grace. And as things shift and change around us in this season of life, there are things that will never change. God loves everyone unconditionally, the bedrock of our belief. And so let us trust Jesus. And what he says to his disciples this morning in the text, he says to us, keep awake. God is about to do something new.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in the hymnals, or on your screen if you're worshiping online. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary with us, there are some gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill those out and place them at the offering boxes at the doors of the sanctuary on your way out this morning. During our prayer time, I'm going to invite you to respond. So when I say the words, Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to say, hear our prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks for your strength and your steadfast love, for your wisdom and your abiding presence, for your guidance and your grace. You are indeed a great God. On this Sunday following Veterans Day, we give you thanks too for all those who have faithfully served in our armed forces, for the sacrifices they have made and their families have made so that we might live in freedom and safety. O God, even as we praise you, we recognize that the foundations of our lives and our world often feel like they are crumbling beneath us. And so this morning we offer you the cries and concerns of our hearts. When the foundations of our health or the health of our loved ones begin to shake, when we seem to have reached the limits of humanity's knowledge and ability to heal, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. When our relationships with others whom we have deeply loved are no longer what they once were, when we find ourselves in the depths of despair due to death, divorce, separation, or conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When the financial footholds upon which we have depended seem to fall away beneath us, when stable employment is difficult to come by, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When we seek comfort, safety, and assurance in things that do not satisfy or sustain us, when we seek safe harbor in ways that actually bring harm, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When the foundations of our civil society seem to be crumbling, when our political divisions seem insurmountable, and our national rhetoric is vitriolic and hateful, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When people around the world continue to suffer from hunger, lack of clean water, and preventable disease, when innocent people are caught in the crosshairs of violent conflict and war, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When the planet upon which we depend for our very survival is in peril, when human greed and corruption lead to the abuse of the earth, its plants, and animals, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus Christ, our Savior, when the world seems to be falling apart, remind us once again that you are our rock and our Redeemer. Help us to seek you first in all things, trusting that when everything else falls away, you still hold us fast. We lift all of this up to you in your holy name as we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I failed to announce two births, and that is a joy to share this morning. So we celebrate this morning the birth of Thomas Michael Reed, who was born on October 27th to Grace and Matt Reed. He's also welcomed by his grandmother, Elaine Reed. And James Bryant Roberts was born on November 12th to Josh and Mary Catherine Roberts, and he's also welcomed by his big sister, Mary Margaret Roberts. And now I'd like to invite Kirby Davis to come up for a ministry moment.
Good morning, all. Back in the day, we called this Pledge Sunday, and if you haven't had a chance to turn in your pledge, there's your card. And I've been asked to speak about why we give to West End. Ann and I joined West End in 1986. Our girls were baptized and confirmed here. We've been fortunate to have our granddaughters born here, baptized here too. Along the way, we've come to love you as family, a family bound together by Christ. We celebrate births together, mourn deaths, revel in the candlelight service, and encourage each other in the faith. That is the first and foremost reason we give to West End, that it nurtures our faith in Christ and instills within us his love for all his creation. Of all the institutions and worthy causes that ask for your time, attention, and money, only the church proclaims the gospel that Christ died to redeem us. From that belief, the living waters of the Holy Spirit flow through us into the world. Last Sunday, Carol preached on the widow's mite. As she always does, she helped us understand the many layers of that story. But I want to point out one obvious one. The widow was supporting God's church financially. No matter how small your gift, it matters to God, and it matters to the ministry of this congregation of the United Methodist Church. God wants us to give our whole self to Him, including our financial resources. In our early days at West End, Ann and I found it hard to tithe, but what blessings it brought. Finally, I want to acknowledge that we are living in difficult times. Many people have been unable to work because of the pandemic, but some of us have continued to thrive financially. If you find yourself in that blessed place, West End needs you to give all you're able to support our clergy, this church, and the many, many people it ministers to.
As Kirby mentioned, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation, but we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those of you here in person, as I mentioned earlier, there are offering boxes at the doors to the sanctuary. You can also give via our website. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our estimates of giving, along with our hearts, to our God who loves us unconditionally.
Thank you.
now let us go forward with eyes open and hearts even wider open to see the new thing that God is doing in and through us and beyond us, to be part of God's future. Go in peace. Amen.